for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun. Well, good evening, everybody. Tonight's Tuesday night, the 22nd of October, and Halloween is creeping up on us. It's that spooky time of the year when everybody's out doing that paranormal ghost thing and having a good time at it as well. So hope you guys have a lot of things going on this month. I know I'm just extremely busy this month, so it's kind of crazy with everything we've got going on. But we'll get through it, and it'll happen, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll enjoy it completely, so looking forward to it. We actually just did a Ash Bash out at Ashmore just a couple weeks ago, and had a great time out there. A lot of people in. The Ghost Brothers were in town. Christopher and Rachel Booth came up, and we were surprised that Philip Booth came up and joined us too. And we had a good time. It was a lot of fun, and hope you guys, some of you listening, got out there. If not, I was kind of disappointed in numbers. I think it was kind of the cold weather that kind of came upon us, so that made things a little bit tough. But next year, we're hoping to go ahead and do it again. Had a lot of great feedback from some vendors that were out there, and they really wanted to see it happen. I think everybody had a good time, so that was the main thing. And we raised almost $2,000 for the charity for Lost Limbs Foundation, so that's great. And that was the main course of the whole thing, is that we wanted to raise some money. So it worked out well. Well, what we're doing with this show is I'm going to talk to venue owners from different venues. I've always been one that really kind of promoted the idea that not everybody goes to one location, so why does everybody have to be so greedy out there to, and think everybody's going to come to their place? And that's not going to happen. So I think that there's a good, there's the opportunity to spread the love, so to speak, with these different venues and everybody that's out there, and have a good time with them and talk to them and find out who's going to their location, what's going on, how they got it, and things like that. So that's what we're going to do every other Tuesday night. And then on the Tuesday nights that I'm not on, I'm actually going to be on anyway, but we've got Lost Limbs Foundation Radio has the other Tuesday nights. So it's going to be a good time with Mike Couch and talking about things. And speaking of Mike Couch, if you have the chance tomorrow night, Mike's actually going to be on an episode of Ghost Hunters. So tune into that, watch that, check out Ghost Hunters. Some of my other friends are on there, Brian Murray, Rachel Stratton, and then Grant, obviously, is on the show. And, it's taken a little time to get used to those guys, but I think once you do, you're going to enjoy them. I think they're going to be a good time. It's tough to put 42 minutes of a show together and have, six or seven people there that you're trying to get to know and who they're doing. No, it's not the old Ghost Hunters team, but the old Ghost Hunter team was new at one time also. So give them a chance. Watch the show and see what's going on. They have a lot of good times. And I know from being around Brian Murray as much as I've been around him over the last 10-plus years, he's just his usual stupid, crazy self. So Brian's probably not listening tonight. I think he's on location, and they're filming right now. So so I can get away with that. But Brian's a good guy. I always give him a hard time. He knows that, and he knows I'm going to be shooting straight up and honest with anything I do. So I can kind of say some things like that about him. But we're just going to kind of waiting for Rowana to call in, and as soon as she gets in here, we'll talk to her a little bit and see what's going on at the 101. So if you guys have any questions tonight, or anybody that's listening may want to call in, feel free to do so. Let me give you the number here. Jot this down. If you got a pen handy, your pencil handy, or if you got your phone, type in the memos and give us a call. And we'll bring you on the show, and you can ask Rose some questions, because I don't think a lot of people know where the 101 is, which just kind of tell you where I wait for. It's in Winchester, Indiana. So looking forward to that. The guest line, the number is 347-202-0316. 347-202-0316. So if you have any questions for Roe tonight or myself, or if you want to be a guest sometime, just shoot me a message at Robin Terry, or you can get a hold of me on Ashmore State's page, or original Mystery Machine page, or all kinds of out there, but get a hold of us. So got Ro coming in right now, and I will bring her in, and we'll talk to Ro, and we'll get things going, find out what's going on at the 101. So, Ro, are you with us?
I am. Hi.
All right. You made it. All right. Great. Good deal. So perfect timing, just on time, and I appreciate you coming on tonight and talking to us. So let me just start off with basically letting you introduce yourself to people and, you know, tell them who you are, and we'll kind of go from there.
Well, my name is Rowanna Ray, and I am on 101 in Winchester, Indiana. I think you mentioned that a couple of tail end of it as I was calling in. It's a relatively new location. I've owned it for a couple years, but it's now getting to the point where it's getting in better shape, let's put it that way. So all three floors, including the basement, are now open for investigating, and it's just a cool location. I hate to say that, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I do love the place. I think you know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can put your heart and soul at any location. Anybody that has one puts their heart, soul, money, and, you know, just labor of love into these. And you don't have any choice. You've got to do it if you want to. And you've done that out there. I mean, I've been out there a couple times and been around there. And you've done a lot of work out there. And these little buildings, they need all that love and attention they can get. And you've been doing that. So that's great. That's what's really nice to see.
Like, it's just charming at times, you know, doing a haunted location. And, of course, as you know, you had to, you were so kind to stop by and have a few words and pep talk with me to get me through that. Because, you know, the spirits, they're there 24/7, and you just never know when they're going to come out. So, in fact, since you were there, I do a lot better. But I still don't go upstairs by myself.
Yeah, that happens a lot of times at different locations. Somebody just doesn't feel comfortable in certain spots where they're going and everything. So, but it's the 101 in Winchester, Indiana. It's sitting out there on the corner. Tell us a little about the place and, you know, the history of the place.
Yeah. It's actually 161 years old this year. It was built in 1858 by a furniture maker that came from Germany, and he came here to New York and then to Winchester. And so they really built it. It was really built well, good bones. And then they opened up a saloon on one side of the basement, a butcher shop, and I've also heard or found in documents that it was a fish locker room in the basement. And then drugstore on the first floor, a menswear on the other side of the first floor, a dry goods store. The back used to be the Rainbow Restaurant, excuse me, that made the first actual sugar cream pie, which is pretty famous around here. I don't know how famous, but I do know they make about 10,000 pies every shift, so they do get out there. Silvertown was born in the back room by keeping change in a cigar box. Then he started a business upstairs and then grew to a national coin business. Actually, it's worldwide now. And then upstairs, the man that owned the drugstore used to have an apartment up there. From the history, I found out that another lady that was divorced lived there in the late 1800s. She actually shot a man to death at the top of the stairs. Recently, I learned that a caretaker lived on one side of the second floor, and on the other side was a blind man, and she passed away, and he didn't have anybody to take care of him, and nobody knew she passed away, so he passed away as well. That second floor is pretty active. And then on the third floor, the Civil War roundtable used to meet up there. And I think the Masons did occasionally. It wasn't their main lodge, but they used to use the third floor of buildings around the square, you know, occasionally. Just a few things there that lead me to believe that, but I can't say for sure. And then the other side used to be a brothel upstairs. So there's a lot going on in that one building.
Yeah, it sounds like there's about anything and everything that's been in Winchester started in that building at some point in time. So the activity's got to be crazy.
It is one of the oldest buildings in town. So anything that was there, you know, I'm sure they used it for things I haven't even come across yet. It's just so much history in 161 years.
Have you been pretty fortunate as far as being able to find things, I mean, locally, or have you been going to, like, the newspapers.com or something like that to find things?
Yes, I've read several books from the Randolph County history. It's a really big book, and I've been fortunate to read several of them. But the author on one of them said that he left out anything that might have made the county look bad. You know, like they left out the saloon stuff, and so I had to do some digging for that, some newspaper articles. But there's a, I love to do research. I just didn't have the time, and that's all I've found out so far. So I'm looking forward to this winter when I can sit in front of the computer and research some more.
Yeah, I did that quite a bit with Ashmore, and sometimes you can reach out to people in the area. I mean, I did a Facebook post a couple times and just asked people that were interested if they wanted to research, help me out and research some stuff, and they found some documents, you know, and you kind of have to keep going because they look and look and look, and then they finally, like, lose their interest in it, and so you may have to run two or three different people through, but it's a good way to find people that are interested in finding things for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I've made one post, but it's been a while. I know that sometimes I'll be outside and somebody will stop and say, oh, my sister used to work in there, because after it was a drugstore, it was also a diner and then a cafe. And so there's people that they'll say, oh, my uncle lived upstairs at one time. You know, they have a lot of memories because it's been there for so long. And the man that works at Ted Martin, he works at the Historical Society, he stopped by and took a tour. And he could, a friend of his, I can't remember, friend or uncle, was with him and said he remembered the passwords to go into the speakeasy. And I thought that was pretty cool.
So did he give you the password?
Yes. Yes.
Well, have you tried to use it? Has anybody tried to use it? Would they be done like EVP sessions there?
Well, that's what I kind of ask investigators, you know, what names they get to see if anyone actually gets that. Like when they get a tour, I won't give them all the information. I kind of let them see what they pull out, you know, so it's not suggestive. I haven't gotten it yet, but I have started a list of names that people do get. Because I think with the investigating, it helps put the history together. That's what I like about 101 is it seems like the history is just still going on there. Rachel Booth got a great response when she was tapping on something, and she said, I wonder what this was for. And she got a lady that said, telegram. And so that's just neat to think that. I mean, that's an old-time word, you know. I like the way that the history is just still there.
Oh, I can understand that. Yeah, that's kind of the way I am, too. I enjoy finding more and more about things all the time when people pop in and they bring in something to Ashmore and tell me something about something that's happening. And so it's kind of fun. It's fun to learn what's going on and everything.
It is. I was recently gifted a couple really antique horses for 1-1, and the man that gifted them to me is in his 90s, and he can remember Zeke Clemenger getting shot right outside the front door. Because his truck is actually parked where he was shot and killed. And to listen to him tell his story is really cool. In fact, I'm going to try to find someone or that might be interested in doing a documentary on him because he has a lot of neat stories.
So, yeah, that sounds like it'd be a good idea to get some information on him. So I see we've got a caller that's waiting on hold. We'll get to him here in just a couple minutes, but we're going to do a couple things here, and then we'll get to some callers that might want to call in and ask some questions and all from you. So just one thing, how did you end up acquiring 101? I mean, nobody solicits these things to put them out that they're for sale to buy, but how'd you come up with it?
Well, I didn't buy it for the paranormal, so it just ended up being that way. I kept driving by this building, and it had great, glass all across the front, but it was black. And I thought, goodness, why isn't that building being used? Look at it. It's beautiful. And then I found a for sale sign on one side of it. I kept calling the number. It didn't do any good, And I peeked in the windows, and I could tell nobody had been in there for a long time. So I called the tourism board, and they said I needed to call the mayor. And I thought, oh, he's not going to have time for me. But he did. And he said, oh, I would love for somebody to come along and save that building because they had just been granted a $150,000 grant to have it tore down. It was like a week and a half from being tore down. And then I came along, and he put me in touch with the owner, and the owner said she was actually sitting there praying somebody would come and take it off their hands. I think it sat empty for 3.5 years. They had a break-in in the office, and some things were stolen, and somebody set fire down in the basement. And they just couldn't deal with it. I mean, they were getting towards retirement age, and it was just overwhelming for them because they had had a previous fire before that where fire had come in through the electrical line from the pole. There's also a fire in the late 1800s up on the roof where a man was actually straddling the top of the building and holding the water hose, and when they turned the water on, the pressure almost knocked him all the way down.
Oh, wow.
So it survived 3 fires, and back to your original question, I mean, she was just ready for someone to come along and buy it, and I took a tour, and you couldn't even walk through the place. It was so full of trash, junk, kitchen food that had been there for 3 years, and plaster and bricks upstairs, and actually 3 30-yard dumpsters so far I've taken out of there, and I've lost count of how many pickup loads and trailer loads. But so nobody wanted to tackle it. In fact, a local real estate agent said, well, I personally think you're in over your head. And I thought, well, you just don't know me.
Yep. I had a guy stop out at Ashmore one day when we were out there working that said he wanted to give me a bid on tearing the place down. I'm like, we're not tearing it down. We're saving the place. And he's like, oh, you can't do this. He said, that'll never happen. So I just kind of told him he needed to leave, and that was pretty much the extent of it.
Yeah, go see the other side of the door you just walked in.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you. At first I had, somebody would stop me and say, oh, are you the one that bought this place? And I've got to where I just reply, yep, I'm the crazy lady. Even wondering.
Oh, I've done the same thing when people walked in and told me that, they said, yeah, I'm the nut that bought this place, but nobody else thought they would or should. So let me bring a caller. I'm not sure who it is, but we'll bring him in and see if they got a question for you and see what's going on here.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Robin, it's Wes Coleman from Cops in Canada.
Hey, Wes. Hey, how you doing?
I was going to tell him, Wes, that you said hi, but you beat me to it.
Well, I thought I'd come in and be your first guest, so I know it's a little nerve-wracking to be on radio, and you're doing an awesome job so far.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of questions about the 101. my biggest question is, have you had any personal paranormal experiences there, and would you consider yourself open in that kind of way to those things? Like, are you at all psychic or of that nature?
Well, I don't ever want to have a label put on me, but yeah, I'm open to it, and I'm quite aware, and yes, I've had experiences probably in every spot you can imagine in that place. There's activity in every room, and there's a lot of rooms, aren't there, Robin?
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty good-sized place.
And, I've actually left the city several times because of activity. Sometimes I can deal with it. It just depends what's going on at the time and where I'm at and whether or not I feel like I can deal with it. If it's small and minor, I just go on about my way. But if it's persistent, like once I was on the second floor working and I had someone with me and she had closed the door after we went up there. Well, I don't normally do that, but it didn't matter, so I didn't say anything. I was working, stripping the floor, and all of a sudden somebody starts knocking at the door. Well, I knew that we were the only ones in the building. And so I went to the other side of the room and I waited for it to quit knocking, and then I went back again and it knocked again, and this went on for 2 hours. I was ready to throw my keys down to a stranger and ask him to come up and get me. It was, because I didn't want to open the door. I don't want to see anything, you know, and I didn't want to be rushed. And that's what I don't like is being rushed. And but they don't do that to me there. I mean, they've rushed up to me, but I take that back. I was screamed at in the face when I had some people there, and I screamed, and another woman screamed. I felt like I was stuck on the third floor, and I was ready to call the fire truck and have them put the ladder up, you know. I don't investigate. So,
Rowanna, would you consider it kind of more of a... like somebody playing tricks more than it would be somebody that's, you know, evil or that kind of thing? Like, do you think, you know, it's just somebody having fun? Like, and when I mean somebody, I don't mean somebody human, but a spirit playing jokes.
Well, there's nothing evil there that I feel. Fortunately, nobody has put anything evil in there that I know of. Some are residual hauntings, and some are very intelligent. They can interact with you. I do have a jokester there. He moves things to get my attention, and I'll put something down. In fact, he did it just last week. I put a lantern down, and then when I went back, it wasn't there, and I found it over kind of on the remote to the TV. It was laying, you know, cockeyed. I would never do that. And then upstairs, once I was working on the floor and I had a hammer and I set it down, and then I reached over to get it and it wasn't there, and I thought, what the heck? And I found it on the couch, and it was laying like angled. It wasn't laying down, it was angled where the handle was at the top of the couch and the claw was at the box where you sit. It's just strange. It's hard to explain, but just to get my attention.
That's very cool.
Well, I suppose, unless I'm alone. there's an intelligent, you know. Robin had to come and, well, he didn't have to, but he did. He took time out of his day to come and talk to me, because after I got yelled at upstairs, it just screamed go in my face. I could feel the energy on the side of my face as though it was just yesterday. And I was just afraid to go upstairs after that. But
right.
I realized why he yelled at me and why I was irritating him. And so I went up there and made peace with him, and he doesn't bother me now.
Good
he
for you.
He does let me know he's there, but he doesn't bother me. And
right.
I have to command a certain respect when you own a place.
Absolutely. And it's good for you to be courageous enough to do that and to let it know, you know, these are the boundaries. And that's awesome. Terry was able to help, or Robin was able to help you out through that. That's just, that's incredible. Like, because he's definitely the guy to talk to for sure.
Well, I have a, you know, I have a little ritual I do when I leave, and I have a little dinner bell, and I ring it, and I say, okay, lights out. Hope you like what I got done today, and thank you for taking care of the place while I'm gone. And so I try to respect them as though they're living, because actually, in an odd sense, they are. They're living in the building. And I've also asked them, please don't touch me, scare me, and don't bother the people that come here to work on it, because if we don't get this work done, the city's going to tear the building down, and you're going to be homeless.
Exactly.
You know, it's just kind of a mutual understanding. And so far, so good.
Kind of let them know where they stand. If they screw up, they're going to be without a building and a roof over their head.
Absolutely. You'd be out there walking the streets.
Well, thanks for taking my questions there, Robin, and all the best to you, Rowanna, and I hope and wish you all the success with the 101.
Well, thank you, and if you're in the area, stop by and check it out.
You bet.
Yep.
Thanks
for calling
Robin.
In, Wes, and I will probably see you in June, if not before.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks so much. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
That's Wes from, he's actually on a team called Cops up in Canada, and I had the pleasure of meeting him when he came down with Richard Estep, and they were down here at the theater doing some stuff on the book that Richard's coming out about with the play. So, good guy, and it was a lot of fun talking to those guys when they were down here. So, but yeah, I know, Ro, you've had a lot of experiences there. I know you had the one, I'm not going to call it evil, but maybe a negative thing. But, you know, I kind of, you know, you don't have to go into detail on that, but, you know, just you kind of mentioned a little bit about it. And I think that's one thing that people don't realize when they go to some of these locations. If they don't know the history, something could bite them in the butt, so to speak. So, kind of, you know, you don't have to go into detail with it, but kind of give people an idea of what we're talking about with that.
Well, as I was getting tours, I was referring to the man that got shot as a worthless, you know what, because he actually owned the dry goods store down below, and he had a thing for the woman upstairs, Miss Carrie, and he was drunk one night, and he went up there to basically rape her, and she had had enough of his advances, and she pulled a gun out of a drawer, and she shot him at the top of the stairs and killed him. So when I used to give the tours, or that's why I named it that side, you know, Miss Carrie's room, in honor of her, because in the late 1800s, it had to have been difficult for a woman to be divorced and be on her own and make a living, and then to turn around and have men make advances towards you, and you get it, they just treated and thought of women differently back then. And so I had the attitude, being a woman, like, kudos to you. All right, you stood up for yourself and you took care of this, you know, man. And that's basically the attitude I had. But I would refer to him as W.P. Arnie. And a friend of mine, Jeff Fent, he bought the Geo box up, and as soon as he hit the top of the stairs where he was shot at, he picked up the name, what I thought it said, William. And several other people have picked up the name William. And I thought, well, my goodness, that's one of my problems. That's why he's upset with me. You know, here I am telling this bad story about what a bad human being he is. I'm calling him W.P. Arnie. He wants to be known as William. And regardless whether he made advances towards her or not, he's still a human being, and I don't feel like we have the right to take another one's life. Maybe it could have been handled differently. So I learned that I needed to respect him, and when I made that peace with him, as you suggested I should do, it's been okay ever since then.
And that's great too, that you know that you haven't any issues, haven't any problems. But I think a lot of times investigators go into a location and they've come up with their own things. You know, they either watch some TV shows and there's some negative things they see on that, or somebody else has told them about some folklore, and they go in and they don't know the whole story, and they'll start going to a location and asking questions or saying certain things the wrong way, and I think spirits take it the wrong, and they just probably get ticked off, and they're going to retaliate of some nature if they can, and I think that's what happened there for a while, and you got things all squared away now, and I think everybody's living together again, so to speak.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it feels when I'm there. And one time, Greg and Lacey and I were down in the basement is when we first cleaned up the butcher shop side, and I mean that side was a mess. And we had taken down some walls and cleaned it all up, and all of a sudden we heard a spirit go, "Ooh!" It was like they had come in there and really loved how clean it was, and I'll never forget that. So I think that they're appreciating the fact that it's looking better. And so, like you say, they're all kind of living together peacefully now.
Yeah, I've kind of ran into that too at Ashmore with people when I've had people that investigated before I bought it and people investigated after I bought it, and they said the vibe in the building is so much different because the way it is now versus the way it was. And I think a lot of that's just because we've kind of cleaned it up and we've turned it into something more respectable now for people to live in than what was there before.
I think people in there that say, "If my spirit went crossed over, do you want me to cross it over?" And I'm like, don't upset my balance here. I mean, I don't know if they want to claim to fame or what, but I'm just not really into that crossing over stuff. And then I get people in there that are like, "Ooh, where's the demon?" Or, "Which's the most evil spot in this place?" Well, you came to the wrong place. And I suppose if you're going to look for evil, it might find you, but it wasn't there, It might have followed you in, but to me, the investigating part, I don't investigate, but to me, it would be neat to put the pieces of history together. I mean, the things that you can't read in a book, the newspaper archives, to me, that's the interesting part.
Right. Yeah, you can get some information just by listening to the building and talking to the building and seeing what comes out of that. And hopefully, there's some things that might pop up along the way that somebody will be able to share with you that might be clues to give you along with what else has been going on in the building and the other history that's happening.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing that I always try to do, and they've never done it, maybe they'll do it better for you, is I can always try to keep just a log out there for people basically almost like to write anything in as far as, not so much like the, kind of like experiences that they had, maybe things that they caught or captured. I had one group that came out that had like blueprints of the floor. I sent them a copy of the blueprint, a small thing of the floor, and they blew them up, and they actually wrote down the experiences they had in each of those rooms, which was kind of cool. But have you tried anything like that out there to leave a logbook out there so people can write down anything that they might have had?
No, I haven't. And, I've thought about it a time or two, but I never actually did it. I do have a book out that everyone signs, but I haven't done that. I should pick one up. I think that would be interesting. I hear some people share evidence and some don't. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to share it on the page when I get it. And some people share their experiences, or they'll say, oh, I had a great time, but I don't know what that great time was. Did you have a great time hanging out with your friends? You know, was it a good investigation? Did you get activity? And just here recently, I had somebody that said, oh, I wish I would have had an encounter, but he was there less than 2 hours. So, I don't know.
You're gonna find that this month especially, everybody wants to come in and they want to see ghosts. And you know, we do tours out there, and they'll do the same thing. They'll come in and say, we walked around that place for an hour and we didn't see anything. It's like, well, you know, we can't make them tap dance. So, yeah, and if you walk in with that type of attitude, they're probably not gonna talk to you anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I should have done an isolation 101 with this person had I known it. You know.
Yeah, they'll do that. They'll come in and just, like, you know, get upset because they didn't have something going on. And I mean, I've been in numerous locations where we've gone in and we haven't caught anything. We haven't had any experiences and nothing's happened. But you know, it's just the luck of the game. You know, it's like, you know, I always tell people, it's like going fishing. Some days you get skunk, some days you catch all kinds of stuff.
That's for sure. And I think some of it has to do with the time of the day, the day of the week. The weather, and it does seem like thunderstorms, the energy really changes in there. But I think there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything we can actually, you know, nail down to say that this is going to happen every time this happens. But, you know, you notice some things change every once in a while, but, you know, not always does it happen just because it's a full moon or, you know, it's a crescent,
right,
or something like that. So, who knows?
Well, I have a ghost cat there, and which has just recently been noticed more often, I'd say the last 6 months. And you think, okay, well, where was this ghost cat a year ago? But then I found out in the past somebody used to keep a cat in the basement. And so you get some investigators saying, you have a crawler down there. Well, now that I found out that I have a ghost cat, because I hear it, maybe it's the cat around their ankles and not a crawler, you know. You have to keep an open mind. And then some people claim that they've seen this shadow crawl across the hallway upstairs. And then I, you know, they're like, oh, you have a crawler upstairs. Well, when I found out about the blind man and his caretaker dying, I got to thinking that if the caretaker died, and he was probably wondering why hadn't she been over and knocked on the door, and a blind man wouldn't go out that front door, you know, those stairs would be scary in themselves, so he would crawl across that back door over to her side. And I think what they're actually seeing is the blind man.
Yep, could be very easily. You never know, you know, what they have. I mean, I wonder if he carried a cane or something like that. You know, they might pick up something like that. They might hear that cane on the floor, or something like that, from time to time.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. I was hoping they would get his name, that someone will, and see it'll help put that piece of history together.
Right. Yep. That'd be a nice catch if somebody comes along with a name like that. So, but I also noticed that you're doing some things with Misfit Manor, and that's going to be inside the 101, isn't it?
Yes, that's on the second floor that I had closed off that nobody's been in. I had it closed off for several reasons. One is that it was just in disarray. It was horrible. And then as we started taking stuff down from the third floor, I wanted to have a place to take it before it went to the dumpster. So shame on me, but I found out I put 8,000 pounds on that ceiling. But that's how much we took out of the third floor. And so now we've got all that out, and it had paneling in there, and it just didn't seem to fit the building. So we took the paneling out, took a couple closets out, and opened it back up like it used to be. And Misfit Manor, I don't know how it came about, but you know, you see these dolls that, you know, people, little girls used to love them and do their hair, and they were their best friends a long time. And then when the girls grow up and the dolls get sold, and then they end up at Goodwill or some thrift store, and they're so ugly at this point, then nobody's going to buy them. And I just thought of them being misfits. But yet, at one time, these dolls really meant something to someone. So that's how it started. And so Misfit Manor is just for the things that are just kind of a little unusual and used to be loved. And hopefully everybody will love the atmosphere that I've created.
Kind of like you're taking in the orphans that nobody wants in a way, then.
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, when I see now I have come across some strange dolls since I started this. One of them that continues to sweat, and that doll just weirds me out. I don't even touch it with my bare hands. And that's probably the strangest doll I've come across. I don't like bloody and scary dolls. They're just dolls. But
right.
For some reason, some of them are pretty odd. And a while back, I was gifted a mirror from Panzerotti's in Shelbyville. And it was haunted by a little ghost, a little girl named Sarah. And he gave me her mirror. And I've had it up on 101 on the third floor. But since it's a little girl, and several people have gotten a Sarah on their spirit box, I think I'm going to move her mirror down to Misfit Manor and kind of dedicate that side to her.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because she would want to be around the doll.
So, yep, as much as that activity that's been in the building as far as in the last 161 years, you know, there's probably been a lot of kids in and out of that place too. So it'll be nice to see the dolls are in there, and it'll be interesting to find out what happens, if anything, inside
yes.
that room.
Yeah, I think that they used to drop girls off at the brothel back in the past. Isn't that something they used to do?
Yeah, there was probably a lot of girls that were at that brothel that probably weren't of the same age as that they would think they would be today. They're probably a lot younger.
Yes, I agree. And then I'm going to be opening up the back upstairs in the back part as soon as I can start digging into it. I've only got a couple more things to finish up on the second floor, and I'm going to catch up here at home, take a little vacation down to Georgia, and then when I come back, I'm going to start working on the back part that nobody has even investigated.
So, yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting, too, especially when it's a brand new area that people have not investigated. I ran into one of those out of Ashmore that nobody ever really investigated one particular part of the building, and it's become one of the hot spots, you know, in the building out there, because I don't know why, but it's just kind of strange that that's been a pretty good area. So it'll be interesting to see if you guys have a similar experience out there.
Well, I know that I don't like going to one part of it. And then Jane Teresa Lynch, I let them walk through there to check it out, and I felt like I had someone standing right behind me. Didn't feel threatening, but it, you know, is a heavy presence. There's a rumor that somebody hung themselves back there, but it's just a rumor. I don't have any documentation on it. And it's been closed up for, oh, I don't even know how long, well over 10 years. And I feel like if there's a spirit along the street or something, it would go to someplace like that. You know, just a theory. So you're right, it could be a hot spot.
It'll be new. At least it's a new area that people can go into and try something different and see what they come up with.
Yes. So I'm interested. I've already got a theme for it. and I've already been collecting things for it, so it'll be neat.
So that's cool. So the have you got some other events coming up this year, or is it kind of like winding down for you right now?
Well, you know, since I have heat, I mean, it's there's definitely the potential to investigate there throughout the year. But we've got Living Dead Paranormal's Halloween event coming up this Saturday. That'll be cool. They always seem to do great when they're there. And then I think it's the following week, kind of a late Halloween thing, we have Weird Weekends, and they have the Southern Gypsies and, oh, I hope I don't pronounce his name wrong, Brian Donhausen. And
I'm not even going to try it. I know what you're talking about.
He does, like, energy drawings, and I've heard so much about him. So I'm looking forward to meeting him and the Gypsies, and they're going to have dinner and then readings and investigation. I think that's, the 2nd, November 2nd, something like that, a week from this Saturday.
Yep, that'll be, November 2nd. The Gypsies will definitely bring a lot of fun energy in that building, I can tell you that. They're, those girls are. They're, Donnie will bring the girls up, and, they'll bring a lot of energy in the building, that's for sure.
Oh, that's cool. I did see them at Scarefest when we were there, but they were always so busy, so I never got a chance to meet them. So I'm looking forward to meeting them. I love it when people come there. Isn't that one of the great things about owning a location, Robin, is the different people that come there and you can share the place and meet them? And I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun to be able to share the location with people and have them come up. I got an email from somebody just yesterday to tell me how much fun they had over this past Saturday out there, and that they just loved the place. And it just makes you feel like you're doing something right when you get something like that. So as venue owners, we appreciate those people when they let us know. And I don't have a problem with people that send me constructive criticism. So let me know that, hey, if you did this, it would be really nice. And, because sometimes I'll take that in consideration and do it.
I agree. There's only one thing that I hear all the time that I just don't agree with. Well, you ought to open this up as a cafe, or you ought to just cook for everybody. No, I'm not doing that. I mean, it's got an awesome kitchen there, but I'm just not interested. One time I might get that stove and oven going so that, we can have events where we can cook like pizzas and so forth. But right now, I'm just not interested in doing the kitchen. I think the building needs taken care of first.
Yeah, when you start doing things like the kitchen and restaurant type stuff, it changes everything around a lot. And there's a lot of other red tape you got to go through to get that done. And you just got to figure out, is it going to be worth it or not?
Yes, for sure. I mean, it'd be nice for events in safe. Like this Saturday's, we could have popped something in the oven, or, it'd be neat, but I'm just not at that point yet.
Yep. So the Foreman brothers are coming out this weekend then?
Yes. I always love it when they come by. They do great there.
That's good. They're good guys.
They are, and they've got those two new series on Amazon Prime Video, Paranormal Nightmare and Chasing Evil. I'm looking forward to watching them. I haven't yet. They're just such a professional group.
Oh yeah, they're good guys. I was down in Virginia with them at the Moundsville State Penitentiary a few years ago. I was kind of like the host down there, and those guys were the celeb investigators down there doing stuff. And in fact, I went up to one location with Sean, and this was all during the day. And we went in this one area, and I started asking some questions because we were in like an infirmary, and we heard some voices with our own ears. And Sean, he told everybody out front, if you heard something went on, he might end up leaving, and he pretty much did. He's like, "Yep, I'm out of here." It's like this is what we came for. And but yeah, they're real guys, so if they have some experiences, it'll be true to life. So they'll just have a good time with everything they're doing.
It's like when they're around, I have three brothers, you know, and I mean, we've known each other for several years now and been on several home residential cases together. And I love them, all three of them dearly. I'd do anything for them. And I know, I get a kick out of them. Josh is always trying to get me to investigate, and I'm always apprehensive about it. And he talked me into it one night. We were down in the basement, and I said, "Oh, there's something over there in that corner. Nobody's listening to me." I said, "There is something over there in that corner." And about that time, we heard a loud growl. It scared the you-know-what out of me. And I just said, I don't know why, but I said, "Can I go upstairs now?" You know, I asked them. And finally, I just said, "I'm going." I was ready to walk through the pitch black, fumble my way. I didn't care what it took. I didn't want to be so close to that growl. It wasn't, but maybe not even 10 feet away from me. And then Sean says, "I'll go with you." And boy, he followed me up there. He was right on the back of my feet. And he said, "Ro, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's a shadow right behind you." I said, "Well, it's going to happen much faster than I do." You know? And we got up into the cafe, and both of our hearts were just beating. You know, he cracks me up. He's brave, but then, you know, he gets really excited when something happens.
Oh yeah, yep. They actually did a video, Ghostville, at Ashmore Estates a few years back. In fact, it was done right before the roof came off and everything. So they were out there and did that, and it was pretty cool. But we got a few minutes left. But how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way to reach you and contact you if they want to book an investigation, or they want to book some time, or however you do things there at 101?
Well, on Facebook it's 101. The website's www.theparacafe.com. Only because 101 was already taken. You figure that. Or they can call 317-999-3464. And if they have any questions, they can message me, call me. I'm available 7 days a week. You know how that goes, Robin.
Oh, yeah. So it's Paracafe, PARACAFE.com then, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We've got the history on there and all the contact info. You can actually book right through there or, you know, check the calendar for available dates.
Do you have some things coming up next year that you can share with us that you're planning on doing?
Well, other than office, I pretty much got the front building done, all four floors. Woohoo! But I'll be working on the back part. I believe it's going to be called the Blue Moon. So it's going to be interesting. Pardon me?
No, any celebrities or anything like that coming out next year to do any events there at all or not? Or not nothing
no,
right now, maybe?
I don't have any set up, you know, and I thought about putting something like that together, but I put 100% of the investigation money right back into the building, and I think at this point, you know, that's what I need to keep doing until I can get the whole thing finished. Maybe one day one of them will come by and say, "Hey, I want to do an event here," and I'll just make sure that I have a great place for them to do so. I'm about to get my senior sometime and do a Lost Limbs event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, Mike and I have talked a little bit about that in the past. So, we'll have to hit you up and do something over there. And, you know, just kind of, especially since Mike's involved and since Lost Limbs owned roads, I mean, it's just it's a matter of just going out and sharing and doing some things at different locations and all. So I'm sure he'd be up for it. And if he's listening, he'll let me know later too. But there's no doubt in my mind he'd love to do something like that. So it'd be kind of fun to put something like that together.
Well, I know that we all get busy with our locations. See, the Rhodes Hotel is actually closer to me than what 101 is, and I haven't been able to make it there. So I know how that goes, being busy.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I actually haven't been out to Ashmore Estates this year as much as I normally do. Going out there tomorrow morning, we've got 100 kids coming in to do a tour of the place, and I sure wasn't going to send 100 kids over there and tell Sue good luck. So Fred and I are going out in the morning, and we're gonna take them all through the building and talk about the history and show them some stuff and, you know, just have a good time with them. But they're all middle school kids, so it'll be fun.
That's cool.
Now, tell us a little about your investigations. We still got a couple minutes. As far as what you do time-wise, or if you have any certain time frames that you do things, or how you do it?
Well, I'm not real strict about the time because I'm normally there. Just 4 o'clock in the afternoon or evening, you know, as a general time, if they need to get there a little earlier. When people are traveling from so far and they get in town at 3 o'clock, I don't want to make them wait out front. So, you know, in the 4-ish range, and they can stay all night if they want. I'd say about out by 10 a.m. the next day, something like that. And it's 400 for a Friday, 400 for a Saturday, and 300 all the other days. And a lot of people ask me, you know, well, when you open up the back part, you get this done, are your rates going to increase? And the answer is no. I'm not the only one saving this place. The people that book it are also the people that say this place. And so I'm not going to raise the rates. I'm just going to keep them like they are.
There you go. That's what I've done, too. I like people coming out and have a chance to share the building. And if you can't do that, you can't keep the prices reasonable for people, then they're not going to show up. And what good does that do? You've got a building you're trying to fix up and not going to be able to share it with anyone.
Well, I try to make it a place feel so comfortable, you know, and I feel like the Paracafe part is. We've got a microwave, we've got a refrigerator, bathroom, coffee pot. We have Wi-Fi, and what is that, a 56-inch TV, so they can actually put their stuff on there. Or I have 5 or 6 cameras that are hooked up in various places so they can watch their friend. You know, if they're investigating in another part. Sometimes they don't want to go investigate. They go there, but they don't want to go in the basement. So they'll watch with their friends on the TV. And so it's just trying to make it comfortable for everyone.
Yep, that's what everybody should do. And you should, you know, give people a chance to come in and enjoy the place and have a good time there and, you know, within reason, and, you know, just have... You know, make things better, and that's I think we can all do that. I mean, I've done a lot of cleanup days and things like that. I posted on Facebook for doing it, and it's amazing sometimes how many people come out and help you do things.
Well, you've done amazing with Ashmore, and I have yet to see the whole building. Like every time I come out there, it's one thing or another, and I can't wait to come through and see what you've done. I mean, I look up to you because you really know what you're doing, and I've not stalked you, but I take a lot of pointers on what you do. You know, I respect what you do.
Oh,
and
thanks. I just fool a lot of people is what I do.
No, you do great. And, you know, I think one of the things I love about what you do is you do it for the people and you do it for the fun. And it shows.
Yeah, if you're doing stuff like this for the money, you're in for the wrong reason.
I totally agree. Yes. In more ways than one. Certainly not doing it for the money.
So, but well, I got about 60 seconds, and they're going to be shutting me off here. So, I appreciate you coming on tonight and sitting in and talking about the cafe.
Thank you for having me, Robin. I look forward to the next time I see you.
So, but yeah, I'll be out and visit you sometime here soon.
Okay, I'd like that.
All right.
A good night.
Thanks, Ro.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ro, for coming on tonight. And if you did by chance catch that, her website address is theparacafe.com. theparacafe.com. So check out her website and look at the investigation out there. Go out and see Ro. She's a great lady. There's a lot of places around there. It's right on the square, so there's a lot of places to eat around there. You can have a good time. You'll enjoy yourself. Next week, we've got with Mike, we've got Heather Taddy coming on. And so we're going to talk to Heather a little bit at that point from the old Ghost Hunter show. And so it'll be interesting talking to her. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate it. Everybody have a good evening, and keep out there and stay spooky. Night, all.